And now for a roundup of other science stories hitting the headlines this week, here's Meera Senthilingam.
Large city hospitals act as breeding grounds for the highly resistant bacterium MRSA and facilitate its spread to more regional locations. A study led by Ross Fitzgerald from the University of Edinburgh sequenced the DNA of 87 samples of methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, or MRSA, from patients in over 15 hospitals across the UK. The team deciphered the genetic makeup of the bacterial samples to trace the origins of infection found in more local settings, and found that hospitals in big cities act as a hub for transmission of MRSA between patients.
You don't have to actually have a disease to be infected with MRSAs, but they can carry the MRSA with them to those regional hospitals. We might be able to identify patients who become colonized when they're in these city hospitals. And if we can screen them, identify patients who are MRSA carriers, we could then treat them using kind of topical antibiotics to decolonize or remove those MRSA so they're not then spreading them back to those regional centers.
The cellular mechanisms underlying the onset of tinnitus have been discovered by scientists at the University of Leicester, publishing in the journal Hearing Research. Working with nerve cells from the brain's dorsal cochlear nucleus, where signals are relayed from the ear to be decoded by the brain, Martin Hamann found that on exposure to loud sounds, the erratic signalling in these cells, known to result in the ringing or buzzing associated with the condition, are caused by malfunctions in potassium channels within the nerve. The work leads the way for potential drugs to restore the functioning of these channels, enabling the nerves to return to their normal state.
You can have a variety of tinnitus. You know, it can be on one ear or on two ears. It can be different frequencies, so the perception can actually be altered differently. It can occur a different day of the time. So it's very difficult to pinpoint the mechanism, considering it is quite diverse. So finding something that is actually so specific can be quite promising in finding a specific therapeutic target.
The Earth and Moon were bombarded with asteroids nearly 4 billion years ago, reshaping their surfaces in the process. It's known that both our planet and the Moon were bombarded with objects thought to be either asteroids, comets, or protoplanets approximately 3.9 billion years ago. Now, writing in Science, David Kring from the University Space Research Association in Texas analysed samples of moon rock from the Apollo 16 mission, which contained 30 surviving fragments of the colliding objects, and identified the culprit of the collisions to be asteroids, providing greater insight into our early solar system.
This is a period of bombardment that immediately precedes the earliest isotopic evidence of life on the Earth. And so we're constantly trying to address, could this bombardment have something to do with the origin and early evolution of life? To the extent that we can tease apart more details of the objects hitting, the pace at which they hit the Earth and the Moon, and what it is they delivered to the Earth and the Moon will better help us evaluate those questions.
And finally, the precise way in which plants pollinate has been uncovered by scientists at Brown University in the US. During pollination, hundreds of pollen-containing sperm stick to the stigma of plants such as Arabidopsis and create tubes through which they deliver the sperm to the plant's ovules. Precisely 2 sperm are delivered per ovule, as any extra can result in poor seed development. But the way this is controlled was previously unknown. Working with models of Arabidopsis in the lab, Mark Johnson and colleagues found that the plants generate a signal when sperm have successfully passed down the tubes to fuse with the egg inside the ovule, as the signal prevents any further pollen from landing.
Plant fertilization process waits until the moment when fertilization has been secured to prevent multiple pollen tubes from coming. So in the case where defective sperm are delivered, that ovule continues to attract more pollen tubes. So if we can understand the molecular mechanisms that are the basis of these systems, we can then improve the systems, or perhaps we can engineer them to be more robust and be able to resist adverse environmental conditions.
And that work was published in the journal Current Biology.
That was Meera Senthilingam with our Naked Scientist newsflash. You can find the transcripts and references for all our news this week on our website at nakedscientist.com/news.
Thank you, Dave.